Yiddishkeit always stresses moderation, self-control, restraint. And yet there's this mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. So we'll ask this afternoon, is it a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim? And what is this mitzvah? And where does it come from? This idea to somehow get drunk, get a little tipsy on Purim and lose self-control. Because it seems to go against everything that our tradition believes in. I mean, Yiddishkeit, Yahadut abhors loss of control and recklessness and drunkenness and that kind of behavior. And I want to start by looking together with you at the Rambam. At the end of the sixth chapter of Hilchos Yom Tov, the Rambam there warns an individual. And he writes, lest a person think, well, if I drink a little bit of wine, it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, right? Rejoicing on Yantif, being glad, happy. So maybe I'll drink a lot of wine and do a bigger mitzvah, right? If it's a little bit of a mitzvah to drink a little bit, I'll drink a lot of wine. And the Rambam writes the following. Kishe'adam ochel v'shose v'sameach baregel. When a person eats and drinks and rejoices on the regel, on the holiday, lo yimshach b'yayin u'v'schok u'v'kalus rosh. He should not get too much into, he should not extend or get too involved in alcohol and drinking wine, u'v'schok, and in laughter, frivolity, u'v'kalus rosh, lightheadedness, v'yomar, and say to himself, that anyone who increases in this, right, in this silliness, in this drunkenness, increases the mitzvah of simcha. There's a mitzvah of simchas yom tov, v'samachta b'chagecha. So maybe, and the Gemara explains that nowadays we fulfill that by drinking wine, right? Ein simcha lo b'basar v'yayin. The basar is the shalmei simcha, which we don't have. Nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have Shalmei Simcha, but we have wine. So by men, it's wine. By women, it's what they're interested in. You give your wife gifts, you give your children gifts, the Gemara in Pesachim says. So lest a person think that, wow, if it's a mitzvah simcha to drink wine, I'll just drink a lot of wine and have a big mitzvah simcha. The Rambam says, no. Sheha shichrus v'haschok harbe v'kalus rosh, eino simcha ela holelus v'sichlus. Because drinking and frivolity and lightheadedness and this type of behavior, that's not called simcha. That's not called joy. Instead, that's called debauchery. That's called foolishness. Holelus v'sichlus. V'lo nitzavinu al ha-holelus v'ha-sichlus. And we were not commanded to engage in debauchery and foolishness and silliness. Ela al ha-simcha sheyesh ba avodas yotzer hakol. Rather, the mitzvah of simchas yantiv, that is the mitzvah of being happy, rejoicing while serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, and he brings the pasuk from Devarim Chav Ches, Tachas asher lo avarta es Hashem Elokecha besimcha uvituv levav. Okay? The Torah warns, the Jewish people are going to stray, they're going to get punished, they're going to go into galus, and the root of it is going to be because they did not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through simcha, through joy, through glad heart, through happiness. There's a lot of chassidus on that pasuk. But the Rambam says, holamarta shavoda bisimcha. That teaches that we have to serve Hashem with simcha. And that casts light on what the whole notion of simcha is supposed to be about. Right? Simcha is not going out of control, getting crazy. I think, unfortunately, today people don't know what simcha is. That's why there's so many books being sold trying to define what happiness is. People are going to so many different conferences and seminars, and so much ink has been spilled to try and achieve this elusive thing that seems to elude so many, this thing that's called happiness. And that's why so many people are on prescription antidepressants, and that's why so many, Chas v'Shalom, I'm not knocking people who need medication, but I think certainly, it's overprescribed. I think too many people are taking antidepressants because they don't know what true simcha is. The Rambam says, you know what simcha is? Simcha is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, earlier in the Perek, the Rambam explains what Simchas Yom Tov is really about. He says, it's not about eating and drinking. If you fill your gut, the Rambam says, that's simchas kreso. That's a very physical, gashmi yizdika pleasure that you're giving to yourself. Instead, he says, what is real simcha? Making other people happy. He quotes the Gemara Pesachim that says that simcha is making your wife happy, making your children happy, making the Bnei Abayis happy. That's called real simcha. And the Rambam writes, you know what real simcha is? Making sure those less fortunate are b'simcha. The widow, the orphan, the aniyim, the poor people, the geirim, those who don't have anything. That's true simcha, writes the Rambam. And the Rambam continues here, he says, that real simcha is serving Hashem. The efshar lavudas Hashem lo mitoch schok velo mitoch kalusro shelo mitoch shichrus. According to Gemara, it's not possible to serve Hashem through levity, through laughter, through frivolity, through lightheadedness, velo mitoch shichrus, and not through drunkenness. And so the Rambam says that by any yontif, you're not supposed to get drunk. That's not called simcha. So where do we get this idea that you're supposed to somehow get drunk on Purim? And you know, I know a lot of people, I have students that, you know, the whole year, they're not always so careful with all the mitzvos. They're not always so machmir. They look for leniencies. They look for shortcuts. They're not so careful, kala kachamura. But when it comes to the mitzvah of drinking on simcha, the drinking on Purim, when it comes to this mitzvah of drinking on Purim, this idea, this minhag of drinking on Purim, all of a sudden, oh, they're so machmir. All of a sudden, they become like the Chazon Ish of drinking on Purim. Where does it come from? So take a look here. The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Amar Rava." Rava said, "Michayev inish libisume bepuria adlo yada bein oror haman levarach Mordechai." An individual is obligated. Michayev, right? Lashon Chova. He's obligated, says Rava. Libisume. Literally to become fragrant. Rashi says, lishtaker b'yayin, to get drunk on wine. But that word sometimes can be used to mean just to be in a good mood, to be happy. Okay? But the simple pshat is that we're talking about getting drunk. We're going to have to define that and ask the question, how much does a person need to drink to fulfill this memra of Rava? Right? Does it really mean getting drunk? Is that what it's talking about? And then, until he doesn't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. And that's, what does that mean? We're going to have to define that as well. Is the Gemara saying that's to the a person is supposed to get drunk to the extent that he doesn't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai? What, that all reason and logic is just thrown out the window? He's got to get so drunk that he doesn't know the difference between right and wrong? Between good and evil? Between Mordechai and Haman? That seems very extreme. I mean, even a person is very drunk. And I've seen plenty of drunk people on Purim. They do silly things sometimes. But they still know basic difference between right and wrong. Basic difference between good and evil. So what does that mean? So you have to, again, try to define what does it mean, libisume bepuria, to get drunk on Purim. And what does this mean, adelo yada, until he doesn't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tafresh Tzadi Hey, Paskins, just like the Gemara, he cites the Gemara. Interesting, many places Shulchan Aruch cites the Rambam, uses the lashon of the Rambam. Here he just cites the Gemara verbatim. Chayav inish lebesume bepuria adlo yada bein aror haman levarach Mordechai. Okay, many people say, oh, here, the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to get drunk. But again, what does it mean lebesume? Does it really mean to get drunk? How drunk? Shulchan Aruch doesn't say. He just cites this memra of Rava. It's funny, only in Israel does my little daughter come home from Gan singing Chayav inish libisume. Only here in Israel. Right?
Yeah, they don't say that. I need to look it.
So it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't cite the Rambam. The Rambam, as we'll see, takes a more moderate approach to drinking on Purim. Kedargo Bakodesh, that's his style. The Rambam is a doctor, a philosopher. The Rambam always stresses the Kav HaEmtza'i, finding sort of the middle ground, the golden mean, the Shvil Azov, the golden path, finding a healthy balance in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam stresses the importance of balance. We started with the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov. So the Rambam explains in Hilchos Megillah that he writes, Ketzer Chovas Suda Zo. How do you perform this Suda?
Shiuchal basar mitaken suda na'a kefi asher timtse yado. He should eat some meat. He should make a nice feast according to his means. V'shosa yayin ad sheishtaker v'yiradim b'shichrus. And he should drink wine until, how would you define this? Ad sheishtaker v'yiradim
b'shichrus. What does that mean in English?
Well, I'm asking you. Yeah, so the Rambam says, not that you have to get so drunk, but you drink some wine until you get tired, and then what? You go to sleep. And that's how you fulfill this idea of not knowing the difference between Aror Haman and Baruch Mordechai, because you're asleep. Another Rishonim and Achronim say the same thing too. Okay? But that's how you fulfill not knowing the difference. But again, we'll have to come back to this idea, because what does it mean, not knowing the difference? Confusing, cursed is Haman, blessed is Mordechai, confusing a blessing with a curse. What does that mean? I understand how you might be able to fulfill that by going to sleep. When, you know, you're asleep, you're not thinking about blessings, curses, you're not thinking about the Purim story. But maybe there's some deeper idea behind this. It would seem from a simple reading of the Rambam that you don't have to get so drunk, right? And the Kolbo, in Siman Memhei, Kolbo is a very important Sefer of Halacha, of Minhagim, Minhagi Ashkenaz. The Kolbo is of unknown authorship. We're not exactly sure who wrote it, often cited by the Ramah. The Kolbo writes the following. V'chayav adam libisume bipuria. Lo sheishtaker. Doesn't mean, writes the Kolbo, that he's supposed to get drunk. He should not get drunk. Shahashichrus asur gamur. Drunkenness is completely forbidden, he writes. The ein l'cha aveira gedola mizo, and there's no greater sin than that. Shugorim l'gulei arayos, shvichus damim, ulekam averus, zulason. And he writes that drunkenness can lead to gulei arayos, shvichus damim, all these horrible things, all sorts of horrible averos. Maybe he's alluding to the Cheta Egel, when the Jewish people are worshiping Avodah Zarah, and we know that it's not just that they made a golden calf, but they are engaging in all sorts of things together with it. There's drunkenness there, there's Gilui Arayos, there's Shlichus Damim, according to Chazal. Okay, so, and we all know, I need not elaborate any further, we all know that alcohol can make a person do the most awful things and the most depraved things, and that's what he's saying here. So he writes, it's not a mitzvah to get drunk. Right? How is it possible that 364 days out of the year, it's usher to get drunk, and then like one day out of the year, since it's Purim, it's mutter to get drunk, and maybe it's even a mitzvah, or a chiyuv, chova. He says, no! There's no mitzvah to get drunk. That's not what it means. Ach sheyishte yoser milimudo. He continues and writes, rather, a person should just drink a little more than he's used to. Ach sheyishte yoser milimudo ma'at. Just a little bit. A little more than he's used to. Kidei sheyarbel yismach. In order to increase his joy, his gladness. Ulesameach avyonim. V'yinachin osam. What is real joy? He should make other people happy. Make poor people happy. And console them, he writes. Right? This is consistent with what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov. By the way, the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah writes that instead of spending a lot of money on your mishloach manos and on your suda, you should put that money towards matanos levyonim. You know, all these people have these very fancy mishloach manos baskets, and they invest so much time and so much money. They have these themed shaloch manos that is also
costumes,
it's related to their costume exactly. But the Rambam writes, better take that money and put it towards matanos levyonim. And so here, the Kolbo says, what is real simcha? Making sure the poor people are besimcha. You know, where we live in Har Nof, people come to the door, they're asking for tzedakah the whole day. There's a special din on Purim. We say, kol haposhet yad, nostim lo. Anyone who stretches out their hand, you're supposed to give them on Purim. Purim is a special day. It's a special day that's set aside, so to speak, for tzedakah. We've had people that have come to our door, and we sort of ran out of cash, and we invited them to stay for the Suda, and they stayed. You know,
Purim is a special day to share and to give to others. And that's what real simcha is. It's not getting drunk, getting crazy, swinging from chandeliers. Okay? It's making sure that other people have what to celebrate. And so there's a special idea of tzedakah. You know, there's this idea in Chassidus that, you know, that we also want to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's this idea that Purim is a special day of tefillah, and we say that just as like anyone who extends their hand, you're supposed to give them, so too anyone who extends their hands heavenward in prayer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them. It's like Mida Keneged Mida. We are giving people on Purim and care for others. We hope that in turn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give to us and care for our needs. And we don't ask questions. That's the halacha of Kol HaPoshei Yad Nostim Lo. We don't have to do a drisha v'chakira and see if this person is really roi, if he's really deserving of tzedakah. On Purim, you give to everyone. So too, we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us, even though we are maybe not deserving.
Yeah, it brings up the idea that if you're going to get drunk and then not be in the right mindset to daven marv or something like that.
Oh, we'll come back to that. That's a great point. We're gonna get there. So the Kolbo says, what is the mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah to get drunk, because there's no greater isser than getting drunk. Instead, the mitzvah is having a little alcohol, you know, to increase the simcha, okay? And making sure other people have what they need and that their needs are met, the poor, etc. Right? Vayinachem osam, you should console them. Vayidaber libam, speak to their heart. Vizohi hasimcha hashleima, the Kolbo writes. And that is true joy. True simcha is not about getting drunk and fooling around and being crazy. It's about making other people happy, giving to other people. Okay? And the problem is today we've forgotten what real simcha is. And if you come to Har Nof where I live, on Purim, it's mamish bedlam. It's mamish bedlam. It's so upsetting, it's so painful, it's so disgusting. What these guys do, it's so reckless. Guys rent cars, they go around collecting for the yeshivos and for other causes. They drive through the streets drunk, they leave the cars in the middle of the street. Okay, I don't go into my car on Purim, Chas V'Shalom, because the streets are so dangerous. Guys are dancing on top of moving vehicles, dancing in front of moving vehicles. Guys are collapsed in their own vomit on the street. Okay? Is that what Purim is really about? Is that what Rava is saying when Rava says, Mechayev Inish Libisume Bipuria? Is that what he means? That you're supposed to fall asleep in your own vomit on Purim? That's not what it means. That's not what it means. That's not Purim. That's not Purim. A few years ago, Purim fell out on Fridays, it does this year in Yerushalayim. And my wife, you know, in the morning, the early afternoon, went to pick up something from the store. So she's walking down the street, and some yeshiva bacher throws water all over her. And he tells her, I'm glad you think it's funny being stuck. Okay, I didn't find it so funny. I was in the house with some Talmidim, and my wife comes back and tells me there's a guy who threw water on her, and he told her it's not snias for a woman to leave the home. Okay, guy was obviously drunk. Is that what Purim is? Throwing water on people? Throwing water on married women? I mean, that's what, telling them that it's not snias, is that what Purim is? People have lost the concept of what simcha is about and what simcha's Purim is about. And I wanted to go up and find who the guy was, that my wife should tell me who the guy was. I would have slapped the Purim right out of him. But my wife, having good judgment, decided not to tell me who did that. But people don't understand what simcha is and how to express it in a holy way. You know, it's one thing if a person drinks a little bit and is spewing words of Torah. It's another thing if they're drinking and spewing other things all over themselves. So the Rambam says that we observe this ad lo yada by drinking a little bit and going to sleep. The Kolbo says a person should just drink a little bit more than he's normally used to, and, you know, make sure that he doesn't get out of hand and that he makes sure that the poor and others are happy as well. Tosfos there, in Megillah Dav Zion, writes the following. He cites the Yerushalmi. What does it mean, lo yada ben arur haman levarach Mordechai? Tosfos brings the Yerushalmi and writes, Arura zeresh brucha Esther. Arurim kol harishayim, bruchim kol hayehudim. What does that sound like? What does that sound like?
Sounds like he's saying the same thing.
Right, okay, fine. Could be that he's alluding, maybe, to Shoshanas Yaakov. This song, this poem that we recite after we read
Shoshanas Yaakov.
Shekoyach.
I forgot it was.
You're already mekayim the mitzvah. Because you have other chachmei Ashkenaz. You have other chachmei Ashkenaz that say what it means is that you're supposed to drink until you forget the lyrics to either this or to a longer poem, a different poem. So, in other words, it's possible, it's very possible that you don't have to drink very much. Right, you don't have to drink very much.
Or you don't have the poem of Chol, you
should even drink it. Oh, Seder, okay, fine, good. Good. The Rabbeinu Yerucham says that you're supposed to drink until you don't know the gematria.
Which verse is it?
You don't know the gematria. You can't calculate the gematria of Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, which are both equivalent to 502. I'm very bad at math. So even sober, I would have a hard time calculating the gematria. So certainly after maybe a couple of glasses of wine, it would be difficult for me to calculate the gematria of Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, which are equivalent in gematria, both equal 502. So it's according to the Rabbeinu Yerucham, it's also cited by the Abu Darham and the Maharil. That's what we're talking about. Okay, so you don't have to get very drunk. You drink a little bit, a little more than you used to, and maybe you forget the words to this song. You drink a little bit, maybe you can't calculate the gematria. There are all sorts of terutzim in the Rishonim and the Achronim, which suggest that Rava is not saying that you have to get very drunk at all. And as the Kolbo says, drinking is usher the whole year. There's no greater sin. It can lead to the most awful things. So why would it be a mitzvah on Purim? Take a look at the Ramah here. The Yesh Omrim, the Ein Sarich Lishtaker Kol Kach. Those who say you don't have to get so drunk. Ela Sheyishta Yoser Milimudo. The Yashin. Rather, you should drink just more than he's used to and fall asleep. Again, he's taking the opinions of the Rambam and the Kolbo and synthesizing them. Umitoch Sheyashin Ena Yodeya Bein Oru Haman Levarach Mordechai. And once he's asleep, he won't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. He's sort of giving a pshat, reading pshat into the Rambam. And then he continues, says, "Ve'echad ha'marbe, ve'echad ha'mimayit, u'bilvad she'kavin libo la'shamayim." One person, it's a little more. One person, it's a little less. One person has to know himself. As long as he directs his heart heavenward. As long as his kavanos are l'shem shamayim. And that's what it's supposed to be. And when done right, drinking on Purim can be a very positive thing. It could be a spiritual thing. It could be a meaningful thing. It could be a holy thing. You know, they describe what Purim was like by Rav Kook, by Rav Huttner, by others, where they drank and they reached a level of dveikus. They were cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was this tremendous ecstasy there. It was a holy drunkenness. I think, unfortunately, today we've forgotten what that's about. I want to go back to the Gemara. I want to go back to the Gemara, because right after Rava tells us to drink on Purim, there's this wild story of Rabba and Rabbi Zeira. It's the very next line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabba and Rabbi Zeira avdu sudas Purim b'hadli hadati. The Gemara relates that Rabba and Rabbi Zeira had the suda together. They made the Purim suda together. Ibasum, they got drunk. Kam Rabba shachtei l'Rabbi Zeira. Rabba got up and literally slaughtered, shechted his friend Rabbi Zeira.
You sure I'm going to do it right?
Different explanations. What does it mean that he slaughtered him? Did he literally kill him? So some explain he knocked him out, he hit him. Others explain that he got him so drunk, he drank him under the table. The Meiri writes, don't read shachte, read sachte, like schita, he squeezed him. Okay? Maybe he suffocated him. Strangled him? We don't know. Lemachar, the next day.
Maybe he just hugged him.
Maybe just hugged him. Okay, we'll see. But the Gemara continues and relates. Lemachar, the next day. Boy Rachme Vachaye. Rabba prayed for mercy and Rabbi Zeira was revived.
Whoa.
Why did he wait till the next day?
Because he needed to hang
over. He needed to sober up a little bit, maybe. Okay? And Rabbi Zeira was revived. So, again, you know, if he literally killed him, it could be that he was somehow miraculously revived. Yes, otherwise, you know, maybe, you know, he drank him under the table and Rabbi Zeira, you know, ultimately finally came to his senses. He sobered up.
Yeah, Lishana. It's just like natural, tedious, natural course.
So the next year, Rabbi said to him, Lishana Marle, Nesemar, Vinavi Sudas Purim, Bahadi Hadadi. No, let's get together. Vinavid Sudas Purim Bahode Adali. Let's make the Purim Suda together once again. We had so much fun last year. Amarlei, so Rabbi Zeira said to him, Lo bechol shaita v'shaita misrachish nisa. No, no, no. We might not be so lucky this year. Yes. Not every shah v'shah, not every moment does one merit a miracle being performed for them. We might not be so lucky.
Which verse?
Now, why do you think, right after telling us that there's a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim, why do you think the Gemara has this story of Rabbi and Rabbi? It's the very next line.
Keep it in moderation.
Oh, so Harry wants to say, maybe it's a warning. Maybe the Gemara brings the story of Rabbi and Rabbi Zera to warn us. Okay, drink responsibly, as many alcohol ads will feature. Could be.
Also, maybe when you're drunk, like you like say stuff, right? That like either like you mean inside your heart, but like would never say in public, or so they don't really mean to say ever, but, like you say anyways, and like you could, like embarrass somebody, and like that's equivalent to like killing somebody.
Yafeh.
So
it's a nice idea.
So like maybe like.
So you're saying alcohol removes inhibitions. Chazal say, how can you tell the true essence of a person, the true nature of the person, b'kisa, b'kasa, b'koso, in his koso, when he gets drunk, when he has some alcohol, right? Nichnas yayin yatsa sod, all the truth comes out, all the secrets come out. So, you know, a person needs to be on guard maybe. Okay, good. So you're saying it's teaching restraint, it's teaching self-control. Harry wants to say it's there to teach moderation, don't get too drunk, right? By the way, some say, this is a das yachid, but some explain that maybe this is to the extent at which a person is supposed to get drunk. But the Baal Amor, Mitapei Arif, says something amazing. Okay, Baal Amor, Mizrachya Halevi, who was one of the Chochmei Provence of the 12th century, he writes the following. Amar Rabba, Chayav Yenish Lebesume B'Puria V'Chulei, Kosov HaRabbeinu Ephraim, he cites Rabbeinu Ephraim, Zal, Mehahu uvda, from this story, to come Rabba Shakti Rabbi Zeira, Lashana, etc., Amarle, Tanavi, Vichule, Kule, he writes, Idachele Memra de Rabba. This story is there, says the Baal Amor, to push off this statement of Rabba. Vileis Hilchasog Kivasei, and say the halacha is not like him, who says you're supposed to get drunk. Vilav Shapir Dami Lemevid Hachi. And it's not good for one to do this, to act like this, to follow this. The Baal Amor is saying is the story of Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira is there to tell you that the halacha is not like Rava, that we don't paskin like Rava. You know, sometimes in the Gemara you have a Maisa Rav,
right, yeah,
which comes to support a halacha, but sometimes you have a Maisa Rav to argue on a previous halacha.
Gemara is not a level of Maisa.
Okay. So here, the Baal Amor is saying that story is to tell you that the halacha is not like Rava. Now, what's interesting is that he is Girsa. Who is the one who tells you to drink in the Girsa of the Baal Amor?
Rava.
It's Rava, right? With the hey. Our Girsa, it's Rava who tells you to get drunk. And then Rava and Rabbi Zeira, who have this Purim Suda, and Rava gets drunk and then does something to Rabbi Zeira. But in his girsa, it's Rabbi who tells you to get drunk. Right? It's kind of ironic. The same guy who tells you to get drunk gets drunk and kills his friend. Or almost kills his friend.
Yeah, but he clearly learned his lesson because he offered to get drunk the next year also, so maybe he's not reliable.
Okay, I think it serves to amplify this idea that the halacha is not like
Rava,
whatever. The halacha is not to get drunk. For the Baal Amor, it just serves to amplify the point because the same guy who tells you to drink gets drunk and look what happens. I just find it interesting. In his girsa, it's Rava who tells you to drink. So we have to take a step back and ask a fundamental question. What's the connection between drinking and Purim? Where does that come from? So Abu Darham lived in Spain in the 14th century. Chai Adam, who's a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin and of the Vilna Gaon, they explain that the entire miracle of Purim, the salvation of Purim, came through a series of feasts and banquets and drinking. Right? After all, it's the drinking that's what allows this foolish king, this easy, malleable king, to be manipulated. First by Haman, and then ultimately by Esther. Right? It's through these series of mishtos, of banquets, of really drunk fests. That's what's happening over and over. There's this motif that runs throughout the Purim story, throughout Megillas Esther. Take a look at the Chai Adam. In Klal Kufnun Hei, he writes the following, Kevan Shekol HaNeis Haya Al Yidei Yayin. Since the entire miracle was through wine, Ki B'tchila Nitrida Vashti Al Yidei Mishteh Uba Esther. Right? It's ultimately through the wine they got rid of Vashti and Esther's in her place. V'chein Inyan Haman U'mapaloso Haya Al Yidei Yayin. And similarly, Haman and his fall happens through wine, right? Through the series of banquets and feasts that Esther makes and invites Achashverosh and Haman. Lachin, therefore, chayvu chachomim lishtaker ulpachos lishtos yoser mihergalo. The Chai Adam writes, therefore, the chachomim obligated an individual to get drunk, or at the very least to drink more than he's used to. Kidei liskor hanes hagadol, in order to remember this great miracle. Because as we said, the salvation takes place through the wine. It's what allows Achashverosh to be manipulated. It's what allows the whole story to take place, if you think about it. And then the Chai Adam continues with a warning. He writes, Ve'omnam hayodeh ba'atzmo sheyizalzel az b'mitzvah min ha-mitzvos. But, however, if a person knows himself and knows that he's going to somehow be mezalzel in one of the mitzvos, he's not going to perform one of the mitzvos, whether it's benetilas yadayim, ubracha, uberkas hamazon, right? He's not going to wash, or he's not going to bench if he's so drunk, he's not going to remember to bench. Oh, shelo yispal mincha umariv, and this is very common, right? He says, or a person won't daven mincha or mariv, he'll miss a minyan. This is very common. People don't get the mariv. Usually they'll daven mincha before the suda, but people won't make it to Ma'ariv. Or they'll make it to Ma'ariv, but I don't know what kind of Ma'ariv they're davening. Right? The Shulchan Aruch writes that if a person davens drunk, it's a tefilas to'eva. You're not allowed to daven drunk. We learn that out from the Avoda. The Kohanim were not allowed to do the Avoda drunk, under penalty of death. So we learn out that an individual is not allowed to daven drunk. Okay, we all know what goes on in shuls on Motzei Purim. And it's not so nice what goes on. But a lot of people don't daven. He says, you know, that's wrong. On the one hand, you want to be machmir and you want to drink and you want to follow this opinion that you're supposed to get drunk. But at what cost? At what expense? You have to do a shikul hadas. Right?
Like you're going
to... Look at scharo versus hefsedo. On the one hand, person is being machmir to follow this shita, this opinion that he's supposed to get so drunk. On the other hand, he's not performing normative mitzvos.
Right,
halacha psuka, halacha mikubeles. Yes.
Also, a huge inyan, I feel like, is the fact that you have, as you're expressing, so many people getting drunk. I'm not saying Rebbe is necessarily doing this, but there's so much, I guess, lack of damachas chus. There's so much, like that guy is trash out of his mind. There's so much, like, not only is he maybe going overboard, not only is he now going overboard, but now you're causing so many other people to think wrongly and to gossip, and then there's this whole shebang of sins going on when the whole original intent was for simcha.
Okay. I think it's a valid point.
Yeah.
Oh, shinahei kalus rosh, or a person's going to act silly, lightheadedness, frivolity, you know, going to do things he regrets, okay, going to be reckless. Mutav shalo yishtaker. The Chai Adam writes, better that he not get drunk.
Yeah, but also...
V'chol ma'asav yu l'shem shemayim. And all of his actions should be for the sake of heaven, like the Ramah writes. By the way, it's interesting. You know, Ashkenazim, we're so makpid to follow the Ramah, except on Purim, so many want to follow the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says to get drunk. The Rambam says, no, you don't have to get drunk. Just have a little bit. And yeah, you go to say Zayin a little more than you used to and take a nap. But so many people, oh, they want to be machmir for the Shulchan Aruch. You know, so many of the poskim, so many of the Rishonim and Achronim say that there's no mitzvah to get drunk. To drink a little bit, okay, beseder. Have a little simcha. But you have to ask, at what cost? And if you look around, at least what goes on where I live, it's mamish, it's recklessness, it's kalus rosh, it's sichlus, it's holelus. It's not what Chazal intended at all. Okay?
Also, like, isn't there, like, a halakha concept that you shouldn't do a mitzvah if you're going to, like, do an avera while doing that mitzvah? Like, a mitzvah b'al avera.
Mitzvah habal b'avera.
And this is, and I feel like you might be able to bring this as, like, a basic ratio. That, like, you're inevitably going to do something bad when you're drunk, so then you shouldn't get drunk b'chlal.
Right. Well, it depends on how much a person drinks.
Right, so I'm saying.
So there's no mitzvah to get so drunk where a person's going to get sick or going to do something they regret.
Obviously.
Okay. Right. Okay. I think even those who say there's a mitzvah to drink a little bit on Purim, right? There's no mitzvah to drink to excess to the point where it's going to lead to a person skipping a minyan. B'chayadim writes. Or what about the next morning? Right? Is he going to make it to Shacharis the next morning, or is he going to be too hungover? Right? So now he missed Maariv and he missed Shacharis. And when Purim falls out on Friday, like it does in Yerushalayim this year, is he making it to Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv? Is he making it to the Suda? Okay? I remember one year we had a Suda with friends of ours, neighbors of ours, and their son, you know, he was a yeshiva bacher. He never made it to davening, he never made it to the Friday night Suda, Suda Shabbos, because he was, you know, he was passed out in his room. Right? So you have to make a cheshbon. Okay? And certainly there is no mitzvah to get drunk. To have a little bit beseder, to be besimcha 100%. And in addition to this idea of the drinking somehow being a zecher for the nes, somehow invoking how the Yeshua took place through a series of feasts, through the yayin, through the wine, I think maybe there's another element to drinking on Purim. Again, not too much. But alcohol has this ability to allow us to let our guards down a little bit. Right? It removes inhibition. Nichnas yayin yatsa sod. It allows us maybe to let HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a little bit. Because the whole year we're so logical and rational and reasonable and cerebral. And one day a year we got to get past the logic and the reason and the rhyme. And Purim comes along and says, don't be so heady. Don't be so intellectual. Purim says, topsy-turvy day. Let loose a little bit. Let your guard down. And let yourself see, and more importantly, feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life as an individual and in our national life. To see HaKadosh Baruch Hu guiding history and guiding our personal lives and our national life. Because that ultimately is what Purim is about, isn't it? Megillas Esther is one of the books of Tanakh, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not mentioned in the story, not even once. Okay, but we know that when we read HaMelech, the king, it's supposed to allude to the King of Kings because he's working behind the scenes. He's pulling the strings on the stage that is the story of Purim for the Jews of Shushan long ago. But he's also working behind the scenes and pulling the strings, right, of Jewish history. And his hand is guiding our lives, our personal lives and our national life. And maybe by drinking on Purim, we feel that. We access those feelings. We kind of let our guard down and allow ourselves to see and feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, our personal lives and our national life. The Gemara in Chulin asks, Esther mina Torah minayin, where do we see a hint or an allusion to the story of Esther in the Torah? And what pasuk does the Gemara cite? Vanochi haster astir panai. I will hide my face. I will surely hide. Kadosh Baruch Hu is hidden in the story of Purim. It's up to us to reveal him to find him, to seek him out, to search him out, and to find him. Megillas Esther can be read, Megale, to reveal the Hester, the hidden. Right? The words Megillas. We can ask the question, why do we call Esther Esther? Why don't we call her by her Jewish name, Hadassah? She had a very nice Jewish name, Hadassah. So why don't we call it Megillas Hadassah? Why do we call it Megillas Esther? Because it means to reveal the hidden. That is the message of Purim. Searching out a Kodesh Baruch Hu, seeking him out in the story, in the Purim story and in the story of our lives. Now I want to revisit this crazy story in the Gemara about Rabba and Rabbi Zeira. What did the Gemara tell us in Daf Zayin Amud Beis? That Rabba and Rabbi Zeira had a Purim suit together, they got drunk. Come Rabba, Rabba got up, shachtel Rabbi Zeira, and shechted Rabbi Zeira. What does Rabba mean, literally? The word Rabba. Right? Rabba Munasech, we say it every morning. What does Rabba mean, literally?
Great,
big, expansive. And what does Zeira mean? Now here, in our Gemara, it's spelled Zayin Yud Rish Aleph. But in other places in the Gemara, it's spelled with an ayin. What does Ze'er mean in Aramaic?
Little.
Little, small, exactly. So one way of reading it, al pisod, a Kabbalistic interpretation, if you will, of this Gemara, is that Rabba, great, expansive, represents the mochen de gadlus, expanded consciousness, where everything is revealed. We see a Kodesh Baruch Hu clearly. And Rabbi Zeira, Ze'er is small. It represents the mochen de katnus, limited consciousness. And the whole year, we operate on mochen de katnus. The whole year, we walk around and we're so myopic and we've got such narrow tunnel vision and we fail to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. Now we believe as ma'amin, as ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives on an intellectual level, but we don't always feel it when push comes to shove. So maybe this story can be interpreted as follows, that on Purim, through drinking, come Rabba, Shachtei L'Rabbi Zeira, that the great expanded consciousness, the expanded way of looking at things, where everything is revealed, where everything is clear, through the drinking it comes and slaughters the mochen de katnos, the ze'er, the small, the narrow way of looking at life, that tunnel vision. Because the whole year, as we said before, we're so cerebral, we're so logical and rational and reasonable and intellectual. But by drinking on Purim, we peel back the layers. We open the doors of perception. For a few fleeting moments, by drinking on Purim, if done the right way, we are privy to peer through the lattices and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives and feel him in our lives. See his hand guiding history. See how he's involved in our personal lives and in our national life. Because after all, that is the message of Purim. And that's maybe what it means until you don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai.
So what?
It doesn't mean that you have to drink to the point where you don't know the difference between good and evil. But by drinking, you start seeing the good in the evil. If done the right way, you start seeing that even in all the humans of this world, in all the evil and all the ra and all the wickedness and all the pain and suffering, there's also Baruch Mordechai. You start seeing and feeling by drinking, not too much, in moderation, you start feeling on a visceral level, okay? In the language of Chazal, kol da'avi rachmana l'tava, that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is ultimately for the best. Maybe, just maybe, this idea of confusing Arur Haman with Baruch Mordechai doesn't mean that you have to get so drunk that you lose all semblance of right and wrong and good and evil. But you start seeing that it all comes from Hashem. It all comes from Hashem. And that even in the evil, even in the curse, even in the pain, even in the suffering, it's all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. So there's a famous mashal, a famous metaphor, that, you know, we view this world like the backside of a tapestry. You know, just all sorts of random strands of string, and it makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason to it. You don't see any patterns, you don't see any of the beautiful picture, right? Things in this world seem very senseless. But ultimately, on the other side, there's this beautiful tapestry, there's this beautiful picture that's just waiting to be revealed. So by drinking on Purim, again, not too much, just a little bit, just enough, we let our guard down, we remove our inhibitions, we open our hearts and open up ourselves to seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and seeing and feeling in a deep way that everything happens for a reason, that it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that even in the Hamans of this world, in the Arur Hamans, there's Baruch Mordechai. And that should give us chizuk and strength. And the truth is, you can accomplish that by not drinking anything at all. Because after all, what is the mitzvah? What's the halacha? Mechayev inish libisume bepuria. A person's supposed to get drunk on Purim. Not on alcohol, but on Purim itself. A person can get so drunk on Purim without touching any alcohol, without having a sip. A person can get drunk on this notion of Purim, on this idea of Purim, on the concept of Purim. The mitzvah is to get drunk on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life. And you need not touch any alcohol to accomplish that. I've seen people so drunk on Purim who haven't had a sip. Because they're drunk on feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their lives, and they've opened themselves up to that. To seeing the blessing in the curse. To seeing Hashem guiding their life. To feeling His presence. And you can get so drunk on Purim without any alcohol. Because the mitzvah is to get drunk on Purim itself.